we're going to talk this morning about, we were just talking about one practical thing, a very practical thing that you may not ever think is really, is practically, these are, I in fact never even thought about this till I came across this topic and started preparing this year. The question here is on, can you use ice cubes on Shabbos? Using ice cubes on Shabbos. Big question, and you have the right source sheet.
No, I don't know why this came up like this.
Oh, there's a... Yeah, maybe
there
you hit a...
typo.
Maybe you might have pushed the button on it or something. Okay.
I wouldn't let you worry.
Yeah. Yeah. This one just says using ice cubes on... You use this one. They're the same. Okay. So using ice cubes on Shabbos is actually... could be a potential, is a question, and how you can and cannot use them is also going to be a question. And then ultimately we're going to come to some of the practical applications of this, including the very interesting question of you taking a water bottle out of your freezer and using that on Shabbos too, which is probably a more practical thing that I was wondering about as I was going through this, is in the summertime, you put a bottle of water in the... Let's say, we'll talk about making ice cubes probably next week, or we'll do something on it, but let's say you did it before Shabbos, just to assume that everything is okay. You put it in before Shabbos, you put your water bottle. Now you're going on a walk on Shabbos afternoon. You want to take it out. You want to take your frozen water bottle with you so that as you're walking along, the ice cubes are melting. Is that going to be a problem or not? So we're going to talk about that this morning. So this whole topic really just comes from about one line in the Gemara. One line in the Gemara that doesn't really tell us the whole reason. The Gemara doesn't tell us the reason, but what the Gemara says is, it's part of a larger statement, but the Gemara on Shabbos daf Nun Aleph Amud Bet, it's sort of small, one. Rebbe hitir lahat min etatzone. So that's hatmana. Remember, we talked about insulation. So Rebbe allowed you to insulate something that's cold. That's not what we're going to talk about. That's not for us really this morning. But the next part, the very next part of the Gemara is ve'ein mirazgin. Mirazgin, we're going to see in Rashi in a second, means crush. You cannot crush lo etasheleg, snow, velo etabarad, hail, or ice, or something like that. You can't crush snow, you can't crush hail. Bishvil sheyazovu meimav. So that the water inside comes out, right? Kind of in our minds, triggering maybe something schita related, right? Schita, just like you squeeze the fruit and the juice comes out. You squeeze the, you push down on the ice or you crush it up so that water's going to drip out. Gemara says you cannot do that. Aval noten hu letoch hakos, you can put the ice into a cup, or a plate, and there's not going to be any problems for that. You can't crush it so that the water comes out, but you can put it into a cup, says the Gemara.
It'll just collect itself.
Okay, yeah. Well, is the cup full or empty? That's a very important question that we're going to come up here.
No,
is it really collecting itself, or is it just, as soon as it melts, it's immediately going into something else? That's going to be the big question here. Yeah. Yeah. You were going to say something else?
No.
Okay. Okay, so this is the Gemara says you can't melt the ice or crush it, or Rabbi Ribiak quotes really any act that would involve breaking the ice down you cannot do for the water, but you can put ice into a cup. But the Gemara does not say what malacha this is. The Gemara doesn't say why you can't do it. The Gemara doesn't tell us why you can put it straight into a cup and that's okay. So for this we're gonna have a lot of Rishonim who are gonna talk about this, and then we're gonna see what the halacha is. Yeah.
Can you take ice, put it in a cup, and take the cup outside into the sun?
Okay, hold your question. That's going to be something that we'll see as we go through this. Hold the question. Okay. Yeah. Okay, good?
Yeah.
Okay, Rashi. What does Rashi say here? Rashi on this Gemara, v'ein merazgin, kimo merazgin. Rashi tells us merazgin is the same thing as merazgin, crush. That means to crush. Misharbin lachaticho dako, break into small pieces. And he says, barad is Galtzer, maybe glacier. That could be just now it occurred to me that looks like maybe like a glacier kind of word. Belaz, and the Bar Ilan that puts in kerach. That would be the modern translation of this kerach, ice. So the Gemara said you can't crush the ice. Kidei sheyazovu meimav, so that the water comes out. Why not? So what does Rashi say? What's the problem here? Rashi says mishum de kamolid bishabis. Because you are creating something on Shabbos, v'dami l'malacha, and this is similar to a malacha, shebore hamayim ha'elo, that you're creating water, molid, which is presumably, we're going to talk more about that next week with making ice cubes on Shabbos, because I think that's where it's going to come up even in more detail. But molid is creating something on Shabbos. Rabbi Riviat here presents it as On page 359, under the principle of molid, causing a dramatic change in the form of a substance is a creative activity that is forbidden on Shabbos. A dramatic change, even if the action involves no malacha or other rabbinic restriction. So, right, so he says, basically, when you're taking ice and transforming it into water, that's a dramatic change in the form of a substance that could be molid. You're creating water from ice.
Just because it's changing from a solid to a liquid.
Yeah. Yes. Possibly the function of it is changing also.
What about
ice would be something that you would, at least water ice is something that has its own independent function of keeping other things cold, but liquid has a function of drinking. It's possible. I think that we'll probably come to that also towards the end, that there's a footnote in Shmir Shabbos Kilchos, which kind of makes this distinction between frozen water and frozen other foods, that frozen water, you wouldn't necessarily consider to be water because of a different function, but a frozen other food, you would still, that in your mind, that's food, and that has a function as food.
Like ice spoon,
water is H2O. So
right, like
the question that I would ask the chemist is ice
if
you
take
the chemical component of ice, is
I think so, yeah. Oh, it's still H2O. It's H2O, but it has a different function.
Steam is H2O.
So that also,
and that's another thing, you see. Your kettle's boiling, and your steam is
steam,
boiling.
Okay. Interesting if molid would come up there. No. Okay. Interesting. Oh. Yeah?
Now, you said about ice cream and sorbet, all that stuff mm-hmm. like that, that's frozen.
Right.
It's changing its composition.
It would change it from a frozen status to a liquid status, I guess.
We would what? We would not change it?
We would. Eventually.
Eventually. We'll talk about some of the other non-ice examples probably later on, okay? Okay, fine. So this is what Rashi says, so why can you put it straight into a cup? Why can you take the ice and put it straight into the cup? The Gemara says, take the ice cube and put it into the cup. Rashi says, first he tells us, why do you put ice into a cup? Put it into your wine when it's hot outside so that you have something cold to drink. Right, that's what you use ice for. You make your drinks cold. So Rashi says you put it to drink to make it cold. So why is it allowed? Rashi says because it's doing it on its own.
Yeah.
If it's doing it on its own, that's allowed. If you are crushing it to make it into a liquid, that's what's not allowed. That if you crush it, you're doing the act of mola, the act of creation, to take this ice and turn it into water. That's not allowed. But if you just take it and let it sit out, you didn't do anything to it. You didn't do anything to it, so that would be okay, says Rashi.
You put it in a cup with wine, you're saying?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay.
I think the question from Rashi here now was a point that Gary mentioned earlier, is that there might be two competing inferences you can draw from Rashi. One is that he says you put it into the wine to cool it down, so it sounds like it's getting absorbed, it's going right into something else. Exactly. But on the other hand, he says it's doing it on its own. So, if it's doing it on its own, it sounds like you could just put it into an empty cup. So, the second half of Rashi sounds like you can just put it into an empty cup. And the first half, but it's doing it on its own. You didn't do anything to it. But the first half sounds like you couldn't just put it into a cup. We're going to talk about this in a few minutes. You couldn't just put it into a cup on its own. It would have to be into another liquid. So, it's interesting. I think I've seen it, quoting from Rashi, people at least quote one of these inferences, if not both of them. They seem to be a bit of contradictory. I don't know how to resolve that.
I don't see the distinction.
There's going to be two questions that we need to think about. One is...
Liquid or by itself. Mm-hmm.
You don't understand why that's an important distinction?
Why? I don't understand why there is a distinction.
Well, in one case...
In either event, it's just dissolving.
Right. In one case, there's never... we're giving a little bit away here. In the case that you're putting it on its own, in a cup on its own, it's going to then have a puddle at the bottom, which is a real act of molid. It's an act of creating the puddle. But when you put it into the other cup, it's very likely that when something never has liquid form, like we talked about this by squeezing a fruit, something directly into food, it never reached the moment where that drop coming out was halachically defined as a liquid. So to here, if it goes straight into another beverage, it's very likely that the drop that came out of the ice never reached a moment where we could say you created something, because the moment that it was created, it immediately got absorbed. There was never an act of creation to it. The act of creation is only when it's a puddle on its own, when it's only separate. Okay, so that could be the... Is that...
Wow.
A little complicated. It's going to get more little bit more complicated, but well, hopefully everything will be...
Complicated.
It's a visible change of form.
It's a visible... Right, it's a visible change of form when you put it in a cup on its own. Visible. The other one is not visible. Exactly. Right. Exactly.
But it's doing the same thing.
Yeah, but the question is... is there any moment where we could say that something new was created?
No, because...
Wait, what moment? When you put a piece of ice into a cup, what moment... What's the moment that the ice started to melt, that something from the ice came out, liquid from the ice came out into the drink? Which moment is that? There was no precise moment because it just immediately went into that other object. When you put ice into a cup by itself, you see the exact moment that something was created, and you see what in fact was created, right? That's another point. And when you put the ice into the cup, which part, what in here was created and what wasn't? This is how some of the Rishonim talk about it, that it's batel, that it's just nullified into the bigger mixture, right? What thing was here was created? If I put an ice cube into here right now, find me the drop in here that was the created drop. It's batel to the whole thing. It's nullified within the whole mixture. But if you just had a second cup here, and you just dropped an ice cube into this cup, you know exactly what the thing that was created was.
So basically, then you have to put the liquid in first, and then put the ice in to cool it, okay, rather than the other way around.
Remind me that we're going to come to that point later, if that really matters. At the end of the day, it's not going to really matter as long as you just do the, you know, one put your ice cube and then put the water on it. Rabbi Ribbia quotes that some people say bedafka, you should have the liquid and then put the ice cube in.
That I don't know.
It sounds logical.
That point, especially if it's the weather we get here.
Well, if you do, right. Right, it could melt quickly.
That's right.
But then you're ready or over if you put the ice in first.
If it melts.
It's almost instantaneous.
If it melts, that it's going to start to melt? I don't know. I think if you drop a bunch of ice cubes into a cup and pour some soda on top of it, I didn't see that as it's just all part of the same action. But Rabbi Ribbia does say that there's some people who say that you should put the ice into the liquid.
Yeah,
that's what he says. Okay, so this was our first explanation. Was Rashi? Rashi says that we don't do it because it's like creating something new that wasn't there before. You used to have ice, now you have water. You created something new. Okay, the Sefer HaTruma, which is one of the Bali Tosfot, and one of the earlier writings that some of the later I think the Shulchan Aruch and some of the other big halachic posting, they all relied on the Sefer HaTruma for many things. So the Sefer HaTruma tells us something that is going to be a big machlokas, how to understand what he says. He says, "Ein razkin et hashelag v'tabara et aval notin l'toch hakara v'nachoshesh." That was from the Gemara. So he explains what this means. Aser l'ma'e hashelag. It's aser to crush the snow. V'la'asoto tzol, to make it clear. He means make kemo mayim, to make it into water. Mipnei shehu nolad, because this is nolad. This is something that was created. So there's possibly a big difference between molid and nolad. Okay, one nolad is just grammatically, it's passive. Molid isn't referring to the person. The person creates something by crushing the ice. Nolad means the water was created, right? We're not focusing on the person, we're focusing on the object. The object was created, and therefore you're not allowed to use it. So really, nolad fits into muktzah. That's going to more or less be how we understand it. That according to the basic way to understand the Sefer HaTruma, that you cannot melt ice on Shabbos is because the water that comes out from there wasn't around before Shabbos. So it's muktzah. Anything that wasn't in existence before Shabbos, like the classic, the Beitza Shenolda, whatever, anything that was around is muksa. So he basically, it sounds like he's saying, Bipnei shehu nolad, that the water is muksa, and that's why you cannot crush it. That's why you cannot crush it with your hands, because it's muksa. Okay? Everybody? Good? He has the second paragraph. That was Reish Lamed Dalet. And then Reish Lamed A, he picks up from the same point. He says, Pasak imkin asr lichotz yadav b'shabes mishalik. He says, therefore, you can't wash your hands from snow because you're going to end up crushing it and it's going to create water and you're not allowed to do that. And he then, at the very end, he compares this to something. He says, if you have a piece of, like, a very fatty piece of food, he says, you can't put it near a fire to do something to cause it to melt, Because he says that's the same thing as the ice. The ice, you change the form, the substance. We used to be a block of ice, and now it's a liquid, and that's also, it's muktza. So too, this piece of congealed fat, if you put it too close to the fire, or you do something like that, and it's going to melt, that's going to make it, that's going to be also too muktza. This is what he says. The points are going to, everything here, while it might sound a bit theoretical, is going to come back to us in the practical stages. So this is the second reason why you can't just on your own crush ice. Rashi says it sounds like you're creating, you're doing an act of creation, creating the water. And the Zevar Truma sounds like he's saying it's because the water that comes out is muktzah, because it wasn't here before Shabbos started. The water's muktzah. Okay. But we can see how these two terms might lead some Rishonim to say, well, does the Sefer Truma really mean that it's muktzah? Maybe he just had no lot because he really meant like Rashi, molid. He just said it a little differently. Okay? So the Rashba, we're not gonna do this inside in source four, the first half of it, but the Rashba very clearly understands that the Sefer Truma is not like Rashi. That they're saying two different things, and he doesn't like the Sefer Truma. He asks a whole bunch of questions. He doesn't understand why this would be mukta and why this is different than any other nolad that there is. The Rashba in paragraph one, we're going to see paragraph two because he's going to give us a third and final reason for why in source four. But he's going to give us a third and final reason why crushing ice on Shabbos might be usur. But he himself thinks the Sefer Truma says differently than Rashi. That Rashi says it's because you created water. The Sefer Truma says because the water is mukta. And we're going to have very practical differences in all these reasons coming up. So let's take a look at the second paragraph here. It says, V'li nira. After he talks about the Sefer Truma, asks his questions on the Sefer Truma, and he says, now I'll tell you why the Gemara says you can't crush ice on Shabbos. Li nira mishum gzeirat schita deperos ha'omdin lamashkin naguba. He says, I think it's because the Chazal made a gzeira, a decree, because of schita. You can't crush, you can't squeeze out fruits to get the liquid, to get the juice out. And crushing ice looks very similar to schita. It's not the same thing, but it looks similar enough that Chazal said, don't crush the ice because you might get confused or something along those lines. If you crush ice on Shabbos to get the water out, then you might take your orange and squeeze it to get the juice out too. Mipnei shehabar v'ashelik limimayin hein omden. And that's why can you put it into the cup? The Gemara said you can just put the ice into the cup. Sochet is a squeezing. When you just put an ice cube into a glass of water, it's doing it all its own. It doesn't remind you that there's no active squeezing going on for the person. So the Rashba here seems to be focusing on like an act of squeezing. If there was an act of squeezing involved, something similar to that, then it would be usur. But if you just put it on its own, it would be mutter. And probably, Gary, too, from your points from before, we're going to see this clear in a few lines even. But if you just did it on its own, it would be okay too, because you didn't do an act of squeezing the ice that would then lead you to be confused and maybe come to squeeze the oranges on Shabbos too.
The passive is okay, the active is not.
Right. The passive is okay, the active is not. As opposed to the truma, where the passive, even if it's muktzah, it's muktzah, the passive was not okay too. We're going to see all that inside and also shortly. V'od hi kilibol l'rasik b'toch ha'kos kipero delavenei schita ninhu. He says, we're even making it to do it when it's inside the cup. This is going to be something we're going to talk about also. Stirring, once the ice cube's already inside the cup, can you stir it? That's another question, similar to everything we're talking about here. If it's similar, we'll see soon.
You want to make iced
coffee. Right, good, exactly. I want to make iced coffee on Shabbos. Can you stir it up so that the ice cubes all dissolve? Right, yeah. it's a very similar question. Similar question.
So probably creating heat by stirring.
A lemonade.
Yeah, but because it's so far removed from any heat source.
But you're still creating heat. Aren't
that's gonna melt the ice by stirring it.
Yeah.
Already, you're in a clee, whatever. I don't think it's the heat, so hold that point also. I think that's going to also be a very interesting point that we're going to come to in maybe 10 or 15 minutes about with the heat that might be a practical difference.
So you say stirring is a big problem then.
I didn't say that. I said it might be. We have to see. That we're going to have to see. According to the Rashba, it's clear that you're allowed to, because that's not at all comparable to squeezing fruit. It's already inside the object. It's already inside the other thing. You're not going to, when you stir your ice cube inside your cup of water, you're not going to think, oh, because I stir this, I can then go and squeeze. Right? For him, it's only about the actual physical squeezing of the ice with your biadayim, because that's going to be the thing that's similar to squeezing fruit. He kind of says, he says you could even squeeze the ice over the water because that's so far removed from schita. That's what he says. If the water would be on its own, then that would be no good. But once you're doing it into another liquid, it's clear to you and to everybody else that you're just doing it to make, you're not doing it to extract the water, you're doing it to make your drink cold. So he says even that... that would be okay. And he quotes a Tosefta that you could even squeeze it. He can put it in the water, you can stir it in the water, you can squeeze the ice over the water. All those things are okay because those are too far removed from the act of schita that Chazal would have made a gzera that you can't do. Okay, this is the Rashba. So that was our... the Rashba is our third reason here. And the Rush, in Source 5, again, we're going to skip through some of these inside, but the Rush... understood the Sefer Truma like Rashi, okay? Right, again, Rashi says you can't crush it because you're creating water. The Rashba says you can't crush it. The Rambam and the Ramban also agree with this Rashba. The Rambam likely agrees. They say that you can't crush it because it's similar to schita, similar to squeezing a fruit for juice, so you can't squeeze your ice because you're going to kind of extracting the water. And the question is, and according to the Rush, the Sefer Truma agrees with Rashi that it's molid, that you're creating water. And according to the Rashba, the Sefer Truma thinks a third opinion that it's mukta, that the water is mukta because it wasn't in existence before Shabbos. Okay, now, why does all this matter? This all matters for some of the cases that we've been talking about up till now. So we take a look at Source 6. Source 6 is a good summary. I found this on the Gush website, Risu Kerach B'Shabbos, from a short article, where he, in the first paragraph here, he quotes a good summary for us, everything we said up till now. B'Shabbos Dav Nuna, in Source 6, B'Shabbos Dav Nuna Aleph Amid Ben, Muva'ad Breita Ha'oser L'Rasig Kerach B'Shabbos. The Gemara says you can't crush ice on Shabbos. Ach Matir L'Havsh Yeratoi De'ach Nasad L'Kos Mayim. The Gemara allowed us to melt the ice by putting it into a cup. You can't crush it with your hands, but you could drop the ice into the cup of water. And the Rambam, Havin Shizoi Harchava Shel Isser Shechita, the Rambam thinks that this is part of the Isser Shechita. Okay, Uchshem Sh'asu Lizchot Pero Kach Aser, turning the page, Lahotzi Mayim Mikerach. The Rambam thought this was the Isser Shechita. We saw that from the Rashba. Oh, I think I skipped a line, sorry. I skipped the first line, where Rashi said it's molded. Rambam says that it's chita, and the trumos, and the Sefer HaTruma, HaSover Shezehu Snif Shel Isra Mukta. It's like Mukta. Shemayim HaPoshim Osir Mishum Molad. It's like Mukta. So now, why does this matter? The top of page 2. Nafgamina, Bein Shalosh Hashitot Hi. What's the difference between all these opinions? Kerach Shenamas Me'elav. Something that melted on its own. Okay, the ice cube melted on its own, or we can make this a little bit more active. I don't think it has to be melted on its own. You took ice and put it into a cup. You didn't crush it with your hands. You didn't crush it with a spoon. You didn't do anything to it. All you did was took ice from your freezer and put it into a cup. Now, lefi shitot Rashi v'Rambam, kevan shelo nasta mayim melacha asur, because you didn't do any melacha to it, you didn't do any act of creating to make it from ice into water, you didn't do any act of schita to turn it from ice into water, all you did was let it sit on its own, therefore, mutter lishtamish b'mamelu, mutter, it's mutter, you can use the water, because you didn't do anything to it, the whole thing was passive, but, ach l'shitat sefer ha'truma, kevan she ha'iser hu iser muktza, because it's an Isra Mukta, the water that came out was Mukta. It doesn't matter if it came out because you crushed it. It doesn't matter because it came out on its own. Once we're focusing on the water, not on the person, we're saying the water that comes out is Mukta, according to the Sefer Truma, you could not use the water that came out on its own. So now let's just clarify. According to everybody, if you chopped it up with your hands, that would be Usur Durabanan to chop ice up with your hands. If you put it straight into a cup, according to everybody, that would be mutter. The Gemara says it. According to everybody, that would be mutter. The middle case is, and this is going to be where we have a machlokes, can you just take something out of the freezer and let it sit on its own? Let it sit on its own. According to Rashi and Rambam, that's going to be mutter. You didn't do any action to it, and according to the Sefer HaTrumah, that it's going to be also, you would not be allowed to drink that water because it would have the status of mukzah. Okay, that's wow. Practical difference. We're going to see, we're going to come to Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, we're going to see how we paskin in this, and then make that also like more practical, like with some of the cases we talked about earlier. That's Nachimina 1. Nachimina number 2, Rabbi Ribiak quotes this, and we're going to see why I'm not 100% sure that this is, everybody's going to be in agreement with this as a practical difference, and this is the case of stirring up the ice once it's inside the drink. So Rabbi Ribiat says in source 7, according to the, and I just edited it, I edited this a bit, but you can see where I put in the dot, dot, dot. According to the first view, i.e. crushing ice is forbidden under Shechita of Dash, one may not crush ice or snow that is submerged in a cup of water or juice, because any act of crushing bears similarities to crushing fruits, even if the accumulation of the liquid is not visible. Any act of crushing is similar to crushing fruits. So why I think that this isn't so accurate is because we saw from the Rashba that he said once it's in the cup, you could do it also. That's why I find this to be a bit interesting, because he says that according to, if we think that it's chita, you wouldn't be able to stir your iced coffee, let's say, because you would be doing an action that would help the ice cubes melt. And he says, and according to the second view, that it's molid, you would be allowed to, because you remember, like we said before, once it's in the liquid, anything that comes out is immediately absorbed into the stuff around it. There's no active creation there. There's no point of creation. You can't see which part of the liquid was created and which part wasn't.
Yeah.
So he presents this as a second practical difference. Can you stir the ice cubes once they're in the cup? And he says, according to the Rashba, he says no. According to the view of the Rashba, he says no, even though the Rashba himself seems to say yes. And according to the view of Rashi, that it's an act of creation, you would be able to stir the liquid in the cup. Okay. Everybody good up till now? Okay, good. So now we're going to start to see the halacha. Questions? Any questions? Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Ted, in Source 8, Siman Shin Chav Sif Ted, this is the Siman Shin Chav is the Siman of Dash and Schita that we've been dealing with for the past few weeks. Hasheleg v'habarad, right, snow and ice, Ein Miraskin Otam, you cannot crush them, Dahainu L'shabrem L'chaticho Dako, what does this mean? It means to break them into small pieces, Kidei She'yazovu Meimav, so that the water comes out, right, sounds like from the Gemara, Aval notein hu litoch kos shel yayin o mayim, but you can put ice into a cup of wine or water. Hu nimuach me'elav ve'eno choshesh, and it's gonna melt on its own, and we don't have a concern for this. V'chein im hanicham bechama o keneged hamedura v'nivsheru. So too, if you take the ice and you put it in the sun or near the fire in a place that's not close enough to cook it. Yeah. Mutarim, you're allowed to do this. You can drink the ice on Shabbos. Who's he poskening like? Not clear. But what we do know is that he's not poskening like the Sefer HaTrumah. The Sefer HaTrumah is the one who said if it happens on its own, you can't drink the water. And he clearly says, the Shulchan Aruch clearly says, if you put it in the sun or if you put it close to a fire that it's going to melt on its own, you can drink the water. Right? The water's not muktza.
Not muktza.
And the Mishnah Berurah points this out. The Mishnah Berurah points out in Meimav, in the one underneath this, is when the Shulchan Aruch says that you can't crush it for the water, didami lamlacha shavori mayim alalu v'asur midrabanan, and either it's similar to moly that you're creating water, inami gzera shema yischot peridom din lamashkin, or there's a gzera on account that you might come to then squeeze fruits from the juice, so we're not allowed to crush the ice. And the Shaar Tzion, which I quoted right underneath this, the footnote of the Mishnah Berurah says, and I underline this, Vishmatidi Tam Dinolad. He says, I didn't tell you the reason is Nolad, because the Mechaber Lo Svirala, because it's very clear that the Shulchan Aruch does not think that that's the reason, the Midahiter Neger Achama, because he said you can take the ice and just put it near the sun.
Yeah.
According to the Shulchan Aruch, now, what we have is, you could... obviously, like we said, everybody says you can put ice into water. You could even let it melt on its own, and it would be okay. Okay, according to the Shulchan Aruch.
And you're allowed to take that, like I said before, you could take that ice that's in the cup and put it in the sunshine, in the sunlight?
Yeah.
Sun?
Yeah.
Yes, fine?
Yeah. Well, once it's in the cup, then it's going to be 100% okay. But the Shulchan Aruch is saying is that you don't even have to... you're saying a cup of water. You put it into a cup of water... No, or an empty cup. Empty cup. Yeah. So according to Shulchan Aruch, yeah, put it into an empty cup, put it in the sun. That's okay. That's okay. But the Sefer HaTorah would say you can't do it, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin like that. Okay. So why is this going to get complicated? This is going to get complicated because of the Rama, the Mishnah Berurah and Lamed Hay. Okay. Now he's going to introduce to us to make this much more complicated for Ashkenazim. He says, Mutarim, so he says, Mutarim lehanot mehem. If you put it in the sun, you're allowed to get hana. You can drink the water. He says, you can put it lechadchile into the sun, like you said, Avram. You can put it lechadchile, you can put it into the sun, because it's going to melt on its own. And as long as it's doing it on its own, that's okay. Uledat rama b'simon shin yed ched sif tetzain behaga gam hacha yesh lahachmir. Says according to the Ramah in Siman Shin Yurchet, we would need to be machmir in the case of the water melting on its own. Why? D'af dinimuach me'elav asur mishum nolad. The Ramah, we're going to see the Ramah in a second. The Ramah seems to quote that the isra of something melting is nolad, like the Sefer HaTrumah, and then it would be mukta. Then if it happened on its own, you could not drink the water. The eno domel atoch kosta. Okay. And it's not like it's melting it into a cup on its own. So the Ramah is in, I quoted this in Source 9. The Shulchan Aruch and Shin Yilches, this was by Bishel. We didn't really talk about Moli by Bishel. This was the case of you put the fat near the fire and the fat melted. The Shulchan Aruch there says it's mutter, which isn't surprising because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't possibly like the Sefer HaTrumah. If you recall, the Sefer HaTrumah himself compared melting the ice to melting the fat. So the Shulchan Aruch says, it's mutter, you're allowed to have the ice melt on its own. You can even put it closer to a fire. The Shulchan Aruch and Shin Yurchet says, you can put the fat close to a fire to melt on its own. But the Ramah there says, and I underline this, v'nagu lahachmir. The Ramah says, the minhag is to be machmir, not to eat something that melted on its own. But he says, v'makum sorech yesh lismach asvar rishona. But if you need to, you can rely on the fact that it's mutter. Either Ramah is telling us, better to be machmir, and not necessarily drink ice or drink a water that melted totally on its own, because he's asking like the Sefer HaTrumah. Okay? So Shulchan Aruch would say, no problem if it melted on its own, totally okay. And the Mishnah Berurah says, we should be machmir, like the Ramah and Shin Yurchet, that if something melts on its own, it could be mukta, unless there's a tzorech, you have a need to use it, in which case we would let you.
How do you define
tzorech? Yeah. I think post-game, I don't know, I've seen quote, if people, yeah, very thirsty, people come, and you need to serve them cold water or something, and would have nothing cold, or I don't know, the tap water is no good in your place, so everybody, you know, whatever, you already pre-boiled it, and you're not going to just open the sink to whatever, you have to think of a case of a tzorech, but he says, if there's a tzorech, then it would be okay. So the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa seems to really paskin this way. In the new versions, it's even clearer. I'm sorry, it wasn't letting me copy and paste it. The last two times, even though up till now I had never had a problem with copying and pasting from Otzer Chachma, one of the online programs, the last 2 weeks I wasn't able to, so I'm sorry that I didn't put the Shmir Shabbos, so I'll just read it. He says, V'chein mutter litein kubiot kerach b'chli she'esh b'mayim. So it's mutter to put ice cubes into a cup that has water. O mashkin acherim kidei sheyit mosesu b'toch haklei v'yitzanenu et hamashkin, so that the ice cubes melt into the cup and make it cold. Umudr lasod kein mikemet shamayim nisharim lo nikar b'fnei atzmi. It's mutter because the water is not recognized on its own. V'af mutter l'shabur gushe kerach l'tzorech zen. You can even break the ice in order to do this. And in the footnote here, he says, v'hacha tamishum nolad hu. The whole concern here is nolad, i.e., you could not just take the water on its own and let it melt and drink it, because that's going to possibly be mukta. And then he says, aval al, in the next halacha, aval al yasim lechachilo gushe karach betoch kos reka, don't put it into an empty cup, al menat la'ashir, am lishamish b'memeyim, so that you could drink the ice that melts. and he says this is over. This is on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. But he says if you're over, if you do this anyway, you may still be able to drink from it because, like we said, it's not so clear that the halacha is like the Sefer Truma, and the Rambam himself said that only b'makom if there's a makom sorach. So he said if somebody happened to do it already, or you're at somebody's house and you saw that instead of taking tap water, they just put a bunch of ice into a cup and they let it melt. Along those lines, he says maybe better to spill it out, but you don't have to. And if they're not gonna have anything else to drink, don't spill it out. You could drink it. It's not gonna be usur, but better to not just take the ice cubes and let them melt on their own to drink. This is how the Shmir Shabbos paskins. So in source 10, the Shevet Halevi does not exactly paskin the same way as the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. So the Shevet Halevi, maybe we'll do part of it inside, but certainly for the question of the Shevet Halevi, and this is going to be a very practical case that we mentioned earlier. So he's in the beginning, Kabalti Yakarato Vahayot Gampo Amos Ani Lahashiv L'Rabim. So he says, I received your correspondence, and I've been very busy because I have to respond to a lot of people. So Ankot Nafshai Biksar. So he says, I'm going to respond to you in brief. I'm not going to write too much about this, I'm going to do it in brief. So he says, according to the minhag, the questioner asked about the practice. Shehabanot kishahocho lechavod Shabbos l'tayel l'krovim, that his daughters on Shabbos, they would go on Shabbos afternoon, they would go for a walk, they would go to visit relatives. V'hachom ma'ik baderech, and I looked up the word ma'ik. Google Translate said ma'ik was irksome. I thought that sounded like the same way. I don't know if that's right or not, but certainly from the context, that's what it sounds like. Right? The heat is very bothersome. In the summer, the heat is very hot. What they used to do is, and here it's freezer, pei resh, yud zayin resh, they would put their water bottle in the freezer, so that the water would freeze, ad shenasu kerach mamash, until it actually got frozen, kidei shelechol orech haderech yemehem mayim karim, so that the whole way, they're always going to have cold water. They're always going to have cold water because they're going to take a frozen water bottle, and as they're walking, it's just going to melt on its own. Right? Up till now, we said that the Rama says you should be machmir. It sounds like the Rama, you should be machmir when it melts on its own to not drink it. So the questioner says, what about this minhag that my daughter had been doing? Can they do it or can they not do it? Is it allowed or is it not allowed? So this is the question. So the Shevet Halevi says, Usfuka misafkale. So he says, well, why does it sound like it's no good? It sounds like it's no good because the Rama said, water that melts on its own, you should be machmir for. But then he himself quotes two reasons why maybe this isn't 100% what the Sefer HaTruma says, right? The Rama says to be machmir like the Sefer HaTruma, but what does the Sefer HaTruma say? Remember we had at the beginning, big machlokis if the Sefer HaTruma was saying the same thing like Rashi, or if the Sefer HaTruma was saying his own separate thing that it was muktzah. Wow. Maybe the Sefer HaTruma is just agreeing with Rashi that it's molid. So he quotes, actually, in fact, that he says, first, I looked at the Sefer HaTruma inside, and the Sefer HaTruma said something very interesting. The Sefer HaTruma said, when you directly caused the thing to melt on its own, that's no good. I.e., put it in the sun. Put it near a heat source. But he says maybe, even if we accept that the Sefer HaTruma is saying a separate thing that we really should be concerned for muktzah, he's only saying that when you put it, when you directly cause the ice to melt. But if you don't put it in a heat source, you just take it out and put it onto the counter anyway. You just take it out of the freezer. Then maybe even the Sefer HaTruma would agree that that's not such a problem. Rabbi Ribiap quotes this. I didn't put it on the sheets. I apologize. He doesn't say if he paskins, but he quotes it as an idea. According to some postgame, there's no prohibition of whatsoever on taking ice or other frozen liquids from the freezer and allowing them to stand and melt in room temperature. I.e., the whole prohibition is by putting them into a heat source. But if you just put them onto a counter, let's say, then no problem. No problem. This is his first suggestion as to why it would be allowed to take the out of the... I mean, although I was thinking, you know, you're outside in the sun, but you didn't put it in the... You know, you're just holding it at your side. You're not, like, putting it into the heat that it melts on its own. You're just taking it with you. Could be you put it into a bag or something like that. So he says this is the first reason why he would allow you to take a frozen water bottle out of the freezer, even if we want it to be machmir in general, like the Rama, who says on its own it's no good. He says that's only when it melts on its own because you put it near a heat source. But if it melted on its own... really on its own, just at room temperature, he thinks that would be okay. That's his first reason. And his second reason is, he says, who told you that the Sefer Truma really thinks that it's muktzah? Maybe like the Rush says, that the Sefer Truma thinks that it's not really muktzah, it's just an act of creation, like Rashi. And if you did an act to create it, then it would be then it wouldn't be okay. But if it just happened on its own, it would be fine. And then he basically says... has a few paragraphs here, all making these points, is that if it happened on its own, he thinks that it would be okay, but if you yourself put it near a heat source, then it would not be okay. Okay, so this is, so now the question about stirring in your iced coffee, stirring the ice cubes into your iced coffee, I was, according to... Well, on the one hand, it's being absorbed. I didn't think about this in advance. It's a good question. On the one hand, it's being absorbed directly. If we assume that everybody says you can stir liquids that are being absorbed, then it's okay. But if some people think that you might not necessarily be able to stir liquids, then it could be that that's a heat source that's causing the ice cubes to melt faster. But I think at the end of the day, that's mixing and matching both of the different opinions. So I think that would be fine, even in the iced coffee. I think that if it's doma l'schita, like the Rashba said, that that's okay. And if it's immediately being absorbed into something else, then it would not be then it would be okay too. So I think that it's an issue. It's a question. But I think at the end of the day that it would be that just because there's a heat source causing the ice to melt faster in the iced coffee, it likely would be okay. Though it's going to ultimately depend on the reason of the Sefer Truma. We didn't really talk too much about this, but the Sefer Truma really has possibly two reasons why when it melts into something else, it's okay. Either you didn't cause it, or it was just bata. So that, but this is already very complicated. But I think it would be okay. I think that it would be okay. So what we have now is, for Sephardim, you would be able to just take ice cubes and have them melt in to drink them. For Ashkenazim, it would seem, well, according to the Shmir Shabbos, you should not do so. But according to the Shevet Alevi, he would say it depends on how it melted. If it melted from the sun, from a heat source, then it would be osur. But if it just happened on its own, then he suggested that it would be okay. So Rav Rimon says this in source 11. The Sephardic practice is to permit removing ice from the freezer, leaving it in an empty vessel so that it will melt. Similarly, it permits heating food with congealed fat and the like we saw from the Shulchan Aruch. On the other hand, Ashkenazic practice is generally to be stringent in according to the view of the Sefer HaTruma. As such, Ashkenazim should not put ice cubes in an empty cup, but only on a cup with liquid in it, as the Shmir Shabbos rules. But he says this does not apply when there's a Shabbos-related need, like in the case where he says you can thaw frozen liquid, i.e. container of milk. There's a Shabbos need. Right? You need milk. Your milk is in the freezer, so it's a need for you to take it out to thaw it, so that would be okay. The Shmir Shabbos quotes even that he thinks maybe any food would be okay to defrost, that this whole halacha only applies to water, so certainly for other foods... it would be okay to take them out of the freezer and have them melt. So the next thing that I just practical halacha as we wind the shiur up here is that stirring in a cup. What about the ice in the cup that we mentioned a few times? Stirring in a cup. So the Orach Shabbos here quotes that he says a poskim nechleku im ha'isr l'rasei kerach l'hov cholamayim nimar gam boven shakerach nimsa betoch mashke. So machlokes. Rabbi may oppose me. Tiru bazev yesh sha'asru v'tov la'achmir. He says a lot of people allow it, but better to be machmir. So it seems to me that the general halacha here is better to be machmir because the Mishnah Berurah said better to be machmir by all these cases with the ice and melting. But if you did it or if somebody else did it, there's almost always going to be something to rely upon because the Rishonim, the Shulchan Aruch, say that it's okay to melt on its own. The The same Rishonim, the Magen Avraham source 12 says you could stir it once it's in the liquid. You could stir it so that the ice cubes melt faster. He says you could do that. The Mishnah Berurah is not, again, the Mishnah Berurah, the one who said Machmir in the first place, there also says better to not do it. So it sounds like for most of these halachas, the halacha really is that it's apidin, it's mutter, better to be Machmir like the Ramah says, unless you have a tzorech, in which case... In which case it would be good. I also neglected to point out the Shmir Shabbos says better to not stir it once it's inside the liquid. Better to not. So that's really the that's really seems to be the halach here. Unless there's a tzorach, better to not. So now just a quick review here, and then and then the final point that I found to be interesting that's not as necessarily related to what we're talking about here was the Gemara said usher to crush ice. Mutter if you put it in a cup. Why that is, we have two, possibly three reasons. Rashi says because you're creating water from the ice, that's moly, you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Second, Rashba says that's similar to schita, to crushing off fruit for the juice. You're crushing the ice to extract the water. Similar, so Chazal said don't crush the ice. The third reason is that it could be that the ice is muktzah. Shulchan Aruch clearly paskin, and the practical difference is if it melts on its own. The Shulchan Aruch clearly paskin that if it melts on its own, it's okay. It's okay to use, but the Mishnah Berurah quoted to us from the Ramah that if it melts on its own, then we should be concerned. We shouldn't use it unless there's a tzorech. And to that, we noted that the Shevet HaLevi helps us out for, you know, taking the ice, taking your frozen water bottle out of the freezer, where he says, well, melting on its own. How do you define melt on its own? If it melted from room temperature, that's okay. But if it melted, and that's melting on it, that's the okay melting on its own. And the melting on its own that's not okay is if you did an act to help it melt, like put it near a heat source or in the sun or something along those lines. So according to this, you would not be able, you shouldn't take the ice cubes and put them in a cup and put it in the sun to melt, because the Ashkenazim, and we're going to try to practice like the Ramah who says not to do that.
So you can't take your frozen water out of the freezer and go out for a walk because you're in the sun.
But the Shevet HaLevi says you can. So I think it's because it's not you didn't like put it in a hot spot so that it melts. You just took it with you, and maybe even if it's in the sun, it's not like is it the sun that's doing it, or is it just the fact that it's now outside of the freezer that's doing it? I think that's the distinction. If it's the sun that's helping it melt, the Shevet HaLevi says would say no good. But if it's the fact that it's bad, if you removed the reason that it was frozen in the first place, just took it out of the freezer, that's okay. That's okay. And then final halacha that's regarding something similar, a bit of a similar idea here. The Shulchan Aruch in Source 13 says, "Doreis shelig b'ragel aveinu chovesh." You could walk on snow, right? Walking, stepping on the snow is going to cause the water to come out, but we don't have a concern for that. Even though the Gemara said crushing ice you can't do, but you can walk on it. So Mishnah Berurah here says why. At first, it's a davar she'eino mitkaven. You don't care. The water is just going away anyway. And the Taz tells us also a very interesting idea. Taz katam the kaven shu davar she'efshar lizaher ba lo gazrube. Right. This is something you can't avoid. The only other option would be don't go outside when it snows on Shabbos. And Chazal would have never told us would have never interfered in our lives in such a way that efshar, that you it would be impossible otherwise to go anywhere.
To stay indoors for 6 months.
Wow. Yeah, I think also interesting about the mitziyud of where they lived and the temperature is that for those months that it was frozen in Poland and in Europe, that really all the only option was to not go anywhere.
When you're walking on it, you're not going to eat it.
Right? Yeah, you're also not going to eat it. It's going to waste. Yeah, that's what I think that Dabar Shana was. You're not using it. Yeah. What? It's also. I think that's part of the reason why.
What about making a snowball?
So that's snow cool. Is going to be muktzah.
The snow is
going to be... it's something I have to look into. I think the snow is muktzah. I think that's what we generally say.
Would you stop the kids going outside playing?
Would you stop them is a different question of in which cases do you stop, in which cases do you not, and what ages do you stop, and what ages do you not, and is chinuch doing mitzvot aseh, is chinuch also stopping them from doing lo to aseh, that's a very complicated long question.